trumpet in Zion. Sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come. Blow a trumpet in Zion.
Hey everybody, this is Brother Frank, and welcome to another episode of the Remnant Call, and I'm excited to be on tonight's episode because we have a very special guest tonight, Pastor Benjamin Faircloth, and we're going to bring him on here in just a minute. And just thank you and everybody here in the Remnant Call. Folks, you know that this program here is not just simply another end times program, but this is a program calling the sons back to the fathers, and we are in the fathers back to the sons. We're the family of God. It's about reaching everybody that we can. I've shared with you not too long ago, my brother had finally came to me and said he wanted to give his life to the Lord. And I've seen God right now move amongst the family, amongst other people, people who you don't think that love the Lord, because there's so much chaos out there, people who don't care, but God is reaching people still. And I have some of the most dysfunctional family in the planet, and I love seeing the Lord not give up, but instead he's reaching the lost. And I'm telling you, the Lord is throwing the kitchen sink if he needs to get people's attention in this hour. My hope and prayer for everybody listening to tonight's program, that we will be open and willing to allow the Lord to go into the deepest depths of our heart and willing to call us into that ministry that he has for each one of us right now, because it doesn't matter, folks, how bad it gets, the Great Commission will still be there. And you don't understand, we have to have this chaos and this time and trials of tribulation that are going on, because God's breaking down walls in order for his people to get into the most depraved gospel areas in the world. And you know what? God has other people besides us here in America. Yes, he does. You know, that's the problem with the American church. We forget that the Lord has an army all around. But the only place, sometimes there are places that are so isolated, this things that are going on, God knows what he's doing, because he's going to take this gospel into all the world. And he's going to reach everybody, so that as we near this end, God is going to get the word out, but he's needing people who are ready to work for him. So with that, I'm going to bring on Pastor Benjamin Faircloth. If you don't know who he is, if you just go to BenjaminFaircloth.com, you can check his site out. But he is the president and founder of the World Outreach Ministries, and I'm going to let him share a little bit about what they do if you're not familiar with that ministry. So with that, I'm going to bring him on the air. Pastor Faircloth, are you here?
Yes, sir. Hey, Brother Frank. Thank you.
Hey, brother, thank you so much. Pastor, you are one of those bright lights that the Lord is using in this hour to reach a people, an uncompromised light, one that is, I feel, sharing the heart of God and not just in it for a ministry. And brother, I just thank you so much. But I want to have you share a little bit about this as we jump into the night, what you do as your ministry, as we jump in the program. But I'm going to ask, would you open up the Remnant Call with a word of prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. It would be my honor. Thank you. Father God, we love you so much, and we're just so grateful that we can be together today, Father, in this powerful medium of communication. Lord God, I know there's no time, no space with your spirit. And I pray that no matter where my brothers or sisters are listening right now, Father, that you penetrate the very core of their hearts with the amazing love that you have, Father God, that's evident in the amazing grace that you provide. Father God, I pray that the remnant, the people that you love so dearly, that you died and gave your life for, Father, let them not feel like orphans, but Lord, let them feel the adoption, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Daddy God. And Father God, I know that's a supernatural thing, because naturally we're pulled in so many directions. Naturally, we have so many leaders, but few fathers are there. But I thank you that your spirit, Father God, embraces us. And I just pray that tonight, whoever is listening tonight that just needs that right now. And Father, we love you. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and bless Brother Frank and his ministry and family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, brother, thank you so much. And folks, I forgot to share something. Pastor, I thought I'd share this with you. I just remembered we were just in Colorado at a, I had to go for work in a conference. I run an IT company, and it was an important event we had to be at. My wife had to come out later on. It didn't work out right. I was like, why aren't you, you know, she was like, I want to stay for this wedding, friends of the family. I was like, okay. She comes out later. Well, God puts her right beside the president of World Challenge. Wow. And David Wilkerson's ministry. And yeah. This guy, he gets on there. My wife has something wrong with her phone. They end up talking the whole way. Tells her about her husband, you know, has been a fan of Brother Wilkerson. Anyways, we got to go down there and meet him, hang out, and then listen how Brother David had set up that ministry to sustain itself after his death and gone. Brother, you like 90-some% of everything they have that runs their administrations all paid for without a dime. The majority of their money they get goes in. And folks, I got to meet the grandson, David Wilkerson's grandson, and people. And I was just in tears because I missed him so much.
Yeah.
Like one of the, and brother, I thank you because I feel like you're one of those voices, just like Brother Dave in this hour, that was calling a people back to a sense of holiness. Something that had been lost in this world. And so I was just, I knew God arranged the whole thing. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And the pastor that the president, he was like, I wasn't even supposed to come back. I just decided at last minute to jump this plane. The Lord set it all up. And I just was so blessed. And anyways, I don't know that you kind of folks, I'm sorry. I got a little giddy because David Wilkerson was a hero of mine.
Yeah.
Absolute hero.
Let me just say something to you prophetically. You received an impartation there that you don't realize. That was a divine connection. That wasn't happenstance and just a nice visit. Something supernatural, Brother Frank, happened to your life, and you will see the change in your ministry and the depth of passion in your ministry. You watch and see.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's powerful.
I received that.
Great thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous, but I'd like to have been there. Hallelujah.
Oh, it was so amazing. And, you know, and great. I got to hear the little more of the story. Remember of his granddaughter that had passed away. And I was talking to his grandson. I was like, how are you? Because if you remember the famous story of when that happened, the impact it had on David Wilkerson's life. And anyway, so brother, please share with what briefly, what is it that your ministry does, and how do people follow what you do, Pastor?
Yeah. Again, thanks a lot, Brother Frank, for having me back on. You know, World Outreach Ministries International, that is the ministry mission side of Ignited Church, ignitedchurchlife.com here in Livonia, Georgia. We've been doing world missions, disaster relief for, 30 something years now. And we love missions. My heart is a missionary evangelist. That's how I was called into ministry, called supernaturally, audibly. And to go to the world, and then from the world, events and outreaches and things I would learn, the Lord said, you will build a church from there. And that's exactly what he has done with Ignited Church. And so from this base point, headquarters here in Livonia, Georgia, we do everything we can to reach the world. We try to put our hands, if you will, in every pot. Yeah, that's kingdom minded. In other words, we're not experts in everything. We can't do everything, but we believe that we should be available for everything and tell the Lord, here am I. This is one life spent for you. What do you want to do? And that's how we look at it with our finances, with our energy, our time, our life. My life is default. I get one opportunity and I realize that. And so under that understanding and being mentored by Dr. Lester Sumrall and other greats that I've been around, you know, that impartation is in my heart to reach the world. So that's exactly what we do. And we do everything we possibly can. We bring awareness to sex trafficking, what's going on, you know, the ills of society, holiness. I mean, I just think, Brother Frank, we should be involved in everything we possibly can. Again, we're not going to be experts at it. We're not going to be the best at everything, but we should be willing vessels to be used by the Lord. And if I can't do it, I'm going to send my money. I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to hook up with somebody like you or JJ Carroll or Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. You know, all these other guys that are great people on the front lines, and tag up with them and help them reach where I can't. And I think that's the true community, the true body. And so anyway, in a nutshell, That's what we do. Just whatever we can do.
Amen. And I that's what I appreciate, because the Great Commission is the forefront of your ministry. And folks, I just cannot express that enough, that no matter how much we are in tune with what's going on, we can't miss our purpose. Our purpose is not to endure the end times. We will do that by God's grace. Our purpose is to reach the lost for a holy right. God. And that is what we are here for. All this other stuff is just, it's what's going to happen. And it's okay, because God's got this. But at the same time, we can't lose sight. And I'd read, brother, a few weeks ago on here, I'd shared with brother Dimitri Dudeman, and when he had written, I just want to share this to kind of kick off tonight. He said, "Tell my people the days are numbered and the sentence has been passed. If they will seek my face and walk in righteousness before me, I will open their eyes that they may see the danger approach. If they only," this is the key, "look to the approaching danger, they will be caught up and trampled underfoot. Only in righteousness will they find safety." So there's this danger of all we do is focus on the end time. Instead of, yes. And not that it's important. God says, "I'll warn you, I'll show it to you," but you can't get away from the calling of God to reach the lost. And so, Pastor, there seems to be a lot of delusion that is going on here in the world right now. And especially with, you know, the election coming on, just now that you mentioned even Steve Quayle, I'd actually heard a few weeks ago him on the Hagman Report. I was around mowing and listening to that, how he had been on with you on a program, and you're all talking about the delusion and everything. And you also just mentioned about the judgment of God that's coming. What do you see right now, and you, from your point of view, that's going on in the dangers to the body of Christ in the United States?
Well, I think one of the greatest dangers that we have is, you know, I take everything to leadership. I blame everything squarely on pastors. You know, for an example, if you're an elementary child, you know, you go to school, middle school, what have you, pre-K, and all the way up, you know, you're taught by a teacher. That teacher molds you, shapes you, gives you your basis and your foundations of understanding. The same thing it is with Christianity. You go to church, you are molded and shaped by that leader. And one of the problems that we have in the body of Christ today is that our pastors are teaching our people to preservation. They want to preserve them. The end times and really Christian life is not a life of preservation. It's not preserves. It's sacrifice. It's dying daily. It's carrying your cross. It's getting your share of splinters. It's doing what you need to do, dying daily. All of the things that Jesus did and has shown us to be the way of a disciple, the way of the barbarians, as you look at the apostles and the way they were considered in the book of Acts, that's the true model of the church. But through culture and through time and through watering down of the truth of the gospel, we have leaders that are teaching people to be preserved. Let's not get too radical. Let's not do too much. And, you know, tithe is good, but don't do too much. You know, on and on it goes, and we limit ourselves when we should be burning up and burning out for Christ. We have one life to live. Sounds like a soap opera, but it's the truth. We have one life to live. Live it to the maximum that you possibly can, because if you look at all biblical examples, especially the book of Hebrews, and look at the Hall of Fame of Faith, these guys and gals, I love you, you are some of the greatest evangelists of the New Testament. They burned themselves up for the kingdom of God. Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. These people went to death. But we don't preach death. We preach life. And to be honest with you, there is life more abundantly. But how do you get to eternal life? Through death. And what is the cross? Death. But it also produces life. So there's not enough balance, because, again, we're trying to preserve our people and have a reserve for what? What are you reserving for? This is a question to everybody listening to me. What are you holding on for? What's your Bitcoin? What's your 401k? What's your nestled away stuff, squirreled away stuff? What are you reserving it for? Now, I don't mean to be foolish. I mean for you to be prudent. But What are you holding it for? In other words, I think, Brother Frank, the problem is we've watered down the gospel. We sissified our people. Our men are no longer men. Okay. Our women are dominant in many ways because they have to be dominant in a lot of homes because the man's on the couch. On and on that goes. And so I think that's the first key is leadership. We got a problem with not having the fire of Pentecost, the fire of the kingdom, the fire of the passion of Jesus Christ, of why he came to the earth and why he went to the cross. I'm born again so that others may live. I'm born again so others may live. And if that means lay my life down, then that's what you do. And your life down doesn't have to be on a martyr's cross or at the stake being burnt. Laying your life down is serving Christ every day. You know, Frank, the greatest gift I can ever give you is my time in prayer. Because if I gave you money, Amen. You could pay me back money, but you can't pay me back my time. It's impossible. It's the only exchange in the world and in the universe that can never be paid back. That is T-I-M-E, time. And we have held on to our time. We've been selfish with our time, and our pastors are the blame. So let me start out with that.
No, I agree. And so I guess from there is that at what point when the pastors go soft, now, obviously the Bible always talks about a remnant. There's a remnant. But what does that mean? I mean, for me, when the gospel goes quiet, when the lights go out, what does that mean for the United States of America? Because I'm seeing what I believe is the, what we're starting to sow, we're beginning to reap what we've been sowing. And that is a watered down gospel in this country that has begun to me, in my sense, is affected not only the church, but the politics, and to where now the church and the world is now accepting things that are so contrary to the gospel that the very people of God now believe in a Jesus that doesn't even exist.
Exactly. And that's why I think we're at the point, let the dead bury the dead. You have to look at this country, let the dead bury the dead. I am a political atheist. I have no interest in politics. I have no interest and a 6-foot icicle getting up there and trying to lead me, who's carnal, full of demon power, and on it goes. I'm not interested in it. This thing is gone. There's an old song, you know, boom, boom, out goes the lights. You know, that's exactly where we are. We're at the end of the end. This nation is Mystery Babylon, Babylon, daughter of Babylon, whatever title you want to give it. We are at that point of no return. So if the church is trying to revive a dead maggot-filled corpse, and if that's too strong for you, well, I won't apologize, and give it CPR, then that's a definition to me of insanity. Bury the thing and move on. And move on is what? The kingdom of God, my neighbors, my friends, my fellowship, the church, people that want to hear and listen. You don't want to hear and you don't want to listen. I don't know what to do for you. So I think what we're doing, Brother Frank, is we're putting our efforts in the wrong place instead of, again, dying daily, carrying our cross, being radical for Christ, going after the end time vision of an end time harvest and forgetting the rest of this stuff, because we're not going to salvage this country. You're not going to salvage it. Now, that doesn't mean we don't try to stop a few things and look for legislation and stand up. Of course, we do all those things. Who's going to speak for the victims? Who's going to speak for the abused? We have to. But to try to have a false hope and a false dream of some entities that are already demonically inspired, it's a waste of our kingdom time. And we don't have time. We are looking at down the barrel of a Russian nuclear attack on America. They're right off our coast as we speak. And you spoke of Dudeman, the prophecies there about what's going to happen to America, and others have prophesied, David Wilkerson, on and on. And so that should be our focus, bringing in an end time harvest and letting the dead bury the dead.
you know, back, folks, most people don't, and I'm only, I just turned 50, so I wasn't even born during the Cuban Missile Crisis. But I do know about it. And most people don't understand how literally close we were, because a ship took a wrong turn. Almost, we literally almost, and Pastor, around where, even where I live, and I'm in a very rural area, but there are, I've done a lot of, you know, different IT and telecom work through the years. Many of the buildings that have been around that long had bomb shelters, the radio station, there's houses had, and the reason people prepared back then is because the threat was real. I'm worried right now, as the body of believer, that the threat is more real than ever in history, and yet there's hardly any preparation.
Well, why would you prepare if you're getting out of here? Why would you prepare if your pastors are teaching you one day we'll fly away, oh glory? Why would you prepare if you have a soft, I like what you said, you know, soft leader, soft pastors, who are just giving out preservatives? That's all you do. You come into church, get your preservatives for the week. Why should I care? You know, let the Coptic Christians over there lose their head. Let those Christians over there lose, the Orthodox. You know, it doesn't matter to me. I'm here in America. I'm surrounded by my Lazy Boy, my 6,000 cable channels, anything I want in the fridge, in the pantry, you know, on and on it goes. And so, you know, we are totally, we think we're actually, it's in a delusion. We're definitely, but we think we're immune, and we're not immune. There's no remedy for reality except truth. And we don't want truth, because truth is offensive. Truth is in your face. Truth makes you stumble, because then you have to address truth. But then truth will shield you. Truth will enable you. Truth will raise you. And once you learn truth and embrace it and let it do its work, because truth is a knife. Truth is actually the surgeon's knife of God. And you can find that in John 15. God will cut you. He will do what he has to do to remove from us those things that cause us to be premature, to be cankerous, and all those different things. He wants to. Why? To give us more fruit. Well, what's the more fruit, Frank? More fruit? Is it more stuff in our houses, more books, more of my ministry material I can sell you? No, the fruit is the souls of humanity. And what you and I do in this body that's being recorded right now in heaven with our lives, that is what God wants, the precious fruit, because he is the husbandman.
Amen. And I, so my question would be, with all that that you've said, is that what would you say to somebody right now that's their hope as well? America can be revived. I mean, President Trump wins, things could go back to normal. We could get things turned around. I mean, are we past the point of no return in your eyes, Pastor?
Absolutely. In fact, I wouldn't spend too much time with them, because I'm too busy with my hands on the plow. Amen. I tell them, go to my archives, go to Jeremiah chapter 18 and look at the potter's house and look what God said. I can do whatever I want to with a nation. I can do anything I want to. If it doesn't repent, I can deal with it. Jeremiah was very explicit when the Lord spoke to him and said, if I sent Moses, if I sent, you know, all these great patriarchs from the dead, if I brought them back, would they listen? No, they wouldn't. So I think we come to a point where, and this is not brash and being rude, it does come to a point where you just recognize your audience and you just say to people like that, if they're not going to listen, look, could you please move out of the way? I'm trying to plow right here. I don't want to, you know, get on your blue suede shoes there, buddy. I got work to do. And that's my tolerance level today is kind of near zero. Being a pastor, I'll love you and I'll help you. But if you're going to be argumentative and deny and just throw your reasons why, then really we're wasting each other's time. And we have to come to that point where, again, let the dead bury the dead. If you'll listen, I'll talk to you. I'll show you scripture. We'll pray this through. If you're not, and you're convinced an election is going to happen, or election fixes everything, and there's a political solution to a sin-soaked situation, then you and I will have to at least depart ways on that particular topic. I don't want to break fellowship with you, but what I want to do is just, like I said, you're in my way. I'm trying to plow, you know, it's getting late today. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it completely does. And I agree with that. And folks, I that's the reason for bringing this up is because there is so much false hope in something that doesn't, it's not going to happen. And like the pastor was saying, we have been so used to the easy life. There's almost this, I've got to somehow frame something in my own mind that can still fit my prosperity so that I don't actually have to do anything about my current situation. And that's the concern that I'm worried about right now amongst the body of believers is that there's this stale stag. I call it the fog of Babylon is blown in so thick into the mind of believers. And I'm looking at the deception out there, folks. And listen, I'm a businessman from the standpoint, I run a business. I have employees, you know, 22 people will be here. And, you know, I have to care for these employees' paychecks and make sure that I worry about their families and everything. And from a pure business standpoint, President Trump's a lot better for my business, but for the eternity of my employees' souls, it's more important that they are more concentrated on their own walk with the Lord. Pastor, I was so happy that one of my employees was my wife and one of my most trusted employees. She was there with us and she got to go on that whole tour. And instead of this ended up being just a work thing, I feel like her greatest blessing was getting to go be there with World Challenge 2. So, you know what I mean? It's more about, are we taking the time, even in our businesses, to make sure that our first and foremost focus is on Christ? Because when I watched how Trump is talking about aliens and everything, folks, trust me, these aliens are real, but they're called demons.
Yes.
This is all demonic, but it's distraction. There's no one side that is holier or better than the other side. It's all being orchestrated in a great plan to deceive people from the true mission and saving the lost for Christ. At least that's why I see it, Pastor.
It's 100%. It's called distraction. It's distraction. This whole thing, all this stuff is distraction. And that's the key of why we need to put our hands on the plow, never look back, continue with those blinders that keep me from looking left and right, that keep me from being startled, that keep, you know, we're talking about as a mule or horse would be, you know, keep myself on what is before me in my assignment. And my assignment is the kingdom of God, not because I am a quote-unquote preacher, pastor, minister, whatever, blah. I am a child of God, and a child of God is a servant of God, and I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of Christ. Jesus is my best friend besides my Savior. He's everything to me, so I'm going to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And where does he go? He goes to the highways, to the byways. He goes to the seediest places of the earth, the darkest places of the earth. And he never tried to preserve himself. He gave himself. He literally gave himself. And why am I trying to hold on to what I have? I can't. I cannot, because you say, well, I want to hear, well done, the good, faithful servant. Well, you got to be the servant. You got to be that slave. You got to be the one that says, Lord, not my will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, whatever you want to do, Lord, you slay me, you slay me. If you let me live, I live. David, you know, David always fell into the hands of God. When he was given a choice between the enemies and God, he said, man, I fall into your hands because I know you're going to be merciful to me. And so God is a good God. And I just think, Brother Frank, we're distracted. We're distracted by everything. Even end time prophecies, even end time events can distract us.
Amen.
You got to know about it. I'm a researcher. You're a researcher. I don't sleep much. I'm in it. Okay. I'm in it to win it. And I have to know these things. But you know what? My focus is Jesus. My focus, my relationship with him. My focus is my life with him, my family, you know, and then it just branches out from there. But I'm not focused on trying to preserve myself so that I would live. In other words, do I prep? You better believe it. Am I using wisdom? Look at the ant. Am I doing what God has told us to do to prepare? Absolutely. but I'm not doing it so Benjamin Faircloth can live. I'm doing it so others can live through my life, that I could help. I could be a shelter. I can be a source that God says, look, this is what I want you to do. And I'm just telling you, if we'll just grab a hold of that understanding, Brother Frank, all of this political stuff, none of it's going to matter. And let me just tell you this. When you were speaking, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And one of the great equalizers, one of the great equalizers of prophecy, that shows whether a prophecy or a belief is real, it's called time. Time. You can argue all you want between now and November. Let's look at time. You can argue past the election if there is one, and you get your guy or whatever in there. It's time that determines the reality of whether something's true or whether something is a falsehood or a hopeful feeling. And I think we're leaning on hopeful feelings.
And that's right. And you know, it's interesting. You know, I was down there kind of to shift a little bit on the believer side for a moment. When I was down there meeting with World Challenge and talking with the president, Joshua, and of this section he's over and everything. And he was handing me, he said, like, I've got some books I wanted to share with you from just free, just kidding, you know, cause he knew I just love David Wilkerson. He's like, here's some of his greatest sermons. I'm like, I probably read all of them. You know, I used to, brother, back in the day, I had one of those old dot matrix printers, you know, the back and forth, you know, left and right, and the perforations on the edge. And it would, all I could do to, you know, get dialed in up on dial up, you know, to get a sermon, and I'd print that thing out or download an MP3 that would take me an hour for like a little tiny file because, you know, I didn't want, and I just cry. And he said, called anguish is in there, right? That's the only thing he said to me. And cause I was like, yes, that's like, you know, the call to anguish. And the reason I'm bringing this up is, folks, everything as a believer that will ever change your life and ministry will come out of anguish and hardship. And to avoid that, to never give the Lord a chance to step out of the boat and calm the seas, you're never going to hear peace be still. If you only stay in the boat, we're going to need to, in this hour, take some risk, Pastor.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't know how to share that more than, I guess, you know, right now, folks, I'm worried about, I'm concerned about, I'm all about my brother right now. Okay. This is his time to come to the Lord. Okay. And I'm going to get to baptize him, and I'm so excited. I mean, this is like dreams come true, right? Amen. Kind of stuff. Yes. And if you've never, folks, if you've never taken somebody into the waters of baptism, you've never just lived. It's the salvation of a soul when somebody gives their life to Jesus. Pastor, it's what makes this life worth it.
Absolutely.
And it's absolutely sharing people to understand the joy that it's more exciting to see someone get saved than to have $1 million, folks. And honestly, $1 million isn't anything today. No. So what are you worried about? You know, so anyway, sorry. I get fired up because there's something so much greater out there than what we're all worried about and focusing on, our flesh.
But Brother Frank, that's the whole point. That is the whole point of having people like yourself. Okay. You're ministering to people. You're probably a lot of unchurched people. You're probably their pastor. You're their minister. You're their spiritual, provider, you know, all those things that we don't really like the titles of, but people look to us. And this is my point, my whole point. People like yourself, myself, pastors, people in position, if we'll be passionate and prove the ministry, prove the Christian, authentic, transparent life, if we'd prove that, then folks would follow, and you wouldn't have soft Christians. You wouldn't have pacifists, not in large numbers. You would have the stronger church, a stronger remnant of people who, excuse me, who are just on fire for the things of God. But if they have no examples, they don't have no David Wilkersons, no, you know, Dr. Summerall's, you just throw names out there of great, great people of God, Smith Wigglesworth and the great healing movements. And if we don't have these kind of examples today, what do they have? They got these, you know, guys in skinny jeans, you know, with pearl rimmed glasses. Yes. And, you know, brother, I don't, you know, that's our problem. And people flock to them. They flock to these kind of people. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a deeper hunger. And I believe that. So I think what you're doing and what we're doing is the right thing. We're on the right page. And it's hard and it's harsh for people to get, but we're at the point again of no return. And we're at the point that we just can't be act like pacifists. We have to be aggressive because the days are evil, man. The days are very dangerous, and we got to get more dangerous in the things of God.
Amen. So, Pastor, you know, we've been around now, I guess the Remnant Call came, I think I started in 2016. You know, I've never been on big programs, anybody's program, which I was just, the Lord's just done this program, you know, and we've always been so thankful for what God's done. But I did it because I got so tired of saying one day, I was like, you know, I want to start doing something out here. I want to start doing this. I want to start doing that. And finally, one day I was like, if you don't start now, you're never going to start. I'm talking to myself now. Right. So I just did it. And folks, there's been many times in my life where I was just finally, like, I remember years ago, we were having a small group of people over at the house and we were meeting and just praying and talking about taking care of the lost. And I just finally stood up and said, you know what? Next week, we're meeting downtown at the shelter. We're going to go serve these people. Okay, we're done. Yeah. I'm so sick of talking about it. We went down there. People were afraid. They didn't know what to do. Got blessed. Got hooked, opened up a homeless ministry we've been involved with for years, all because we took a little risk.
Amen.
And one isn't always comfortable, folks. Yeah. We didn't in our own strength have it, but we decided, you know what, enough is enough. Let's do something about the situation. Pastor, what would you say to somebody right now that in their life they're seeing what's going on, but they're like in sludge, you know, they can hardly move forward.
Yeah, I would say don't wait for the angels to stir the water and somebody put you in it. Get up and get in it. You know, go do what God called you to do. Ask him to help you. And if he's in it, you're going to win it. I mean, he's going to provide for you. My wife has said over the years, I mean, oh, man, when we were at the lowest of our lives in ministry, she said, look, if God ordered it, he'll pay for it. You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, and if God ordered this in your life, he will pay for it. He will provide. You just got to step out of the boat and make it happen. I would say go for the gusto, you know, go for the totality of it all. Don't hold back. Don't look back. Don't look to the left, to the right. Don't worry about who's following you, who's not following you. Go do what God called you to do. And don't wait on your pastor. Don't wait on some bishop to get a hold of you, because they're probably not going to get a hold of you. Or if you have a good church that has outreaches, join up, man. Get involved with them. And I'll tell you something else that's real healthy, Frank, for those that are connected to a church. Look for ministry in life and then go to your leadership. If they're a good leadership, go to your leadership and say, look, there's a void here. I mean, you look at Tommy Barnett's ministry. I don't know if you're familiar with Tommy Barnett, and just impacted me over the years because of the Dream Center and all that. I don't know what the number is today, but they have over 200 and something ministries, if I remember, you know, from wheelchair ministry to this ministry to that ministry. Everything was a ministry. And so what they would do is lay it all out and say, you want to be a part of this? How about a haircutting ministry? Boom. Okay. Haircutting ministry. And they'd go to the homeless and cut their hair and groom them and help them. And that fires me up, brother. That's true ministry and evangelism, not some guy behind a pulpit with a microphone, slick hair and shiny shoes and a $10,000, you know, suit on. It's getting down to the nitty gritty, getting into the field, the trenches, getting bloodied and muddied and finding ministry. Hey, and if nobody wants to do it, then you do it yourself. You get together with the Holy Ghost and he'll give you a plan. He'll give you a strategy. No doubt.
Amen. And folks, contrary to popular belief, I know the American church is a disaster, and there are so many people, pastors that are off and on a different, you know, I don't know the Lord that they're preaching, but there are still men and women of God out there.
Yes.
Okay. We're not the only ones. Okay. You're not the only one out there. You know, Elijah was convinced he was the only one left. But he was not the only one. God still had 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal in his day. So the Lord has a work, and there are people out there. And it, I know what it's like, folks. Trust me, to go through the seasons where you feel like you've got no friends. Mm-hmm. Nobody's getting it. And you will, I think all believers, Pastor, you go through this season of real loneliness. But over time, God brings people into our lives, and God's got to do. Sometimes He needs us in the desert for a little while, so we can see clearly. I'm sure you've experienced that, Pastor.
Isolation is a very powerful incubator.
Absolutely.
It's very powerful, and we shun it again because pastors, we don't teach principles of the core. I'm teaching right now for, I don't know how long it's been, but the spirit life where I'm dealing with, because the Lord told me to direct, you know, get away from the prophecy part, you know, end time stuff. You do that on Sundays, I'll give you the words. But on this, you deal with the inner core of the man, because if the inner core of the believer is not ready, he can't handle the end times. That's great. You know about the seven heads and 10 dragons and, you know, whatever, whatever. But if you're not prepared spiritually to endure the end times, then what good is that going to do you? So, you know, I think that's one of our focuses that should be for all of us is the inner core of our spirit, man.
Absolutely. That's right on, because folks, here's interesting. If you really think about this, Peter was he was on his own plan, right? And here Jesus said that the Son of God came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And you remember when he wanted to wash Peter's feet, and he's like, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you're going to have no part. And what I'm saying is, folks, it's time to let the Lord wash our feet. It's time to let the Lord do the ministering. He wants to minister to us so that we can minister to others. Yeah. And you can't make this thing on your own. You're not going to go in your own flesh. And Pastor, to me, the thing that blows my mind is that my God wants to minister to me.
Yeah.
And wash my feet so I can go and wash others.
Yes.
And do this. And folks, in order to embrace this hour for what it truly is, you are on the precipice of one of the greatest soul-winning times. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about a revival of the earth's going to turn back to just this wonderful place. No, I'm talking about God reaching the lost out of the darkest trenches of earth's history is about to be before our eyes. We're going to see the Lord do things that we've never, ever seen before.
Yes.
And the thing, you've been called, folks, and Pastor, see, that's why I see Pastor Faircloth as one of these people. You've been called to this time, not to run and hide and to cower, but to actually call forth the name of Jesus to a dying world.
Yes.
Pastor, that's why that's why I feel like God's wanting to find a group of people who are willing to go all out in this hour.
Yeah, Frank, you make me want to preach, brother.
Preaching. You know,
here's the problem. Here's the problem. We're mesmerized, okay, and we celebrate and we fantasize and we memorialize the first church. When they look towards the last church, they look towards the angels pierced into what we're going to be doing, but yet we don't memorialize it. We don't celebrate it. We don't pursue who we are. We are the best for the last. That's us. That's us. Thank God for what Peter and the gang did, what Man. Paul and the boys did, but they ain't seen anything yet. I learned from them. I receive an impartation from them. I see the Lord working in the first church, but God is going to do greater works through the last church. When are we going to get a hold of that in our spirits and be ignited with that passion to say, I am the final generation that's going to see the glory, the manifestation of the power, the tangibility of the all-creating God, Jehovah. I'm going to see his power on earth. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. If that don't crank you, then what's your salvation? Who are you joined with? Because I'm not joined to that tree, brother. I'm joined to the rock of ages, man. I'm joined to that candlestick. I better stop.
No, please. I honestly, I've never heard that in my entire belief time of being a believer.
Because we don't teach it. We don't teach it. We canonize things. We everything's in a glass box. We are memorial people. That's all we seem to be. And Israel did that, and God rebuked them for that. He said, I want to move past that. You want to memorialize things, and you build a calf over it. You can build a calf over the first church, and oh, man, you know what they did. They want to be where I am today. Well, that's just prideful. Are you better than Paul? Yeah, I'm better than Paul in the sense that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And Paul was nothing without that same spirit. And we're equal as far as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you have to view your life and either you got the true DNA of Christ and this is real. Born again is real. A transfusion of the blood of the Lamb, an adoption from my patriarch and father of the faith, Abraham and Moses. If that is real and not hypothetical and symbolic, then, brother, that's coursing through my spiritual veins right now. Now, I may have the DNA of mom and pops and grandma and everybody else, but supernaturally, brother, I'm coursing with the very life that raised Jesus from the dead.
Absolutely. According to Romans chapter 11, folks, we are Israel if we've been grafted in. And it's not by our blood, it's by his blood. That's the amazing thing, is the day I finally understood that I am literally a child of God. I don't care what my DNA is down through the history. It's because of the blood of Jesus I have been grafted in, and now I am just as much a part of the family as a blood-born Kohenine priest from the tribe of Levi or Judah or any other tribe because of Jesus. And pastor,
but who's telling the folks, brother Frank? Who's telling folks that they're not? This is your best life now, and we're going to get out of here. And you know all this garbage. Instead of, you know, back in the faith movement, and I love all movements. I study all movements, so people get all bent out of shape and just they're idiots, in my opinion, on things. You lose so many nuggets. But one of the things that was taught was the believer of the authority of the believer. What a powerful, powerful principle. And that's been overlooked now for years. I don't overlook that. I teach that. I believe in the authority of the believer. But my authority comes from my authenticity of my pedigree, of where I've came from, my heritage. And my heritage is just like you said, I'm engrafted into the vine. I'm a new creation. Either I is or I'm not. You know, I'm not bad. It's not good English. I ain't or I ain't. I is. I is. I am. You are by the blood of Jesus Christ. So why aren't we doing more with what we've been given? Such treasures in earthen vessels. What does he mean by that? What does he mean by that? Your name's written in Lamb's Book of Life. That's not what he's talking about. Inside of you is that treasure. What greater treasure can a man possess than the life of God? And what are we doing with it as a church?
Hey, Pastor, I'm still just blown away. Folks, let me just recap real quick what he said. We looked to the first church. They looked to the last church. And that reminds me of the word of God said, these things happened in aforetime for those to whom the ends of the earth come. The whole Bible was written for us in the last days, primarily. These things happened to the first church, happened to the prophets of old, happened to the children of Israel, happened to Adam and Eve, and all the for an example to whom the ends of the earth come. We keep looking back, and they were all looking forward to our day. And that's I've right. known this, but you just phrased it in such a way tonight that I'm literally, I'm in shock, folks. It doesn't take, when I get on something like this, I'm sorry, I'm blown away right now. And I'm excited because I'm not looking backwards anymore. You're right. I'm looking forward because this is the hour that the whole world from the beginning was looking forward to.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We were fitted spiritually for this day. And you know, one of the proof of it is look at the beginning of the book of Acts. What do they quote? They quote Joel chapter 2. They quote the end times. I call it Acts chapter 2, part 2 is coming. And that's what we're living and we're going to live. But here's the thing. God's got to get the mud out of us, the muddiness, the dirtiness, the carnality and you know, 2 Timothy 3, get all that junk out of us and those different things and the strong delusion that's coming. You know, we got to be refined. And that's what, here's a sticky cuss, kind of a nasty statements I'm going to make, but here you go, persecution. That's where persecution is going to come into the body of Christ, because persecution is the executor, you know, it executes out of us those things where we're crucified and we die daily. And, you know, I would rather fall again on the knife of the Lord and be more prepared for that time of persecution than to be thrown into persecution. Because, guys, those listening to me right now, no matter what, you're headed into it. Mm. You can't avoid this unless you deny Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to face persecution in some form or fashion. Tribulation, which means pressure, you're going to face it. And I believe through that, again, Brother Frank, and it's not modern cultural, fluffy popcorn, cotton candy, you know, tutti frutti Christianity preaching. But the reality is that's what we're headed toward. You think these people are going to let us be on the air like we're doing and let us preach and let us come against the LGBT barbecue and all this other atrocities that are happening to children? You think they're going to allow us, you know, in the coming days to just freely run around with our crosses and our Christianity? If you are thinking that, then you're totally deceived. The strong delusion has already come to your house. It's going to happen. It's already happening to our brothers and sisters who are losing their heads. We have people in Europe who are going to prison, in Canada they're going to prison, in the United States that are already going to prison. And it's coming, and nobody's going to be able to shield us from this, but it's part of bringing us to the perfection that God wants us to become as a last day church. And there is no other way around it.
Amen. No, you're right. As a matter of fact, you mentioned a word. I had to make a note somewhere between 21 to 25 minutes. I did a post. You mentioned something that we just went through not too long ago, and I'm not going to say it again because I've had so many programs deleted from YouTube because of the one word that starts with a V. Okay. Yeah, and everybody knows what it is. I'm going to have to take that one word out. Nothing personal, but I'm just telling everybody ahead of time, we're not editing anything or censoring, but I'm going to have to remove one word because they will delete. They have removed so many of the Remnant Call programs already that it's okay because I have them all. And it's all right. And folks, I'm not worried about it. We're going to preach the truth. And you don't find us on YouTube, you'll find us on Rumble. If you don't find me on Rumble, I'm still on Blog Talk Radio. I'm still on iTunes, still in other places. As long as we can be on there, we will still continue to preach because we have a calling. And God, when they shut us down, it's because God said it was time.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the way it'll happen.
Yeah. As a side note, Brother Frank, not to interrupt you, but that actually happened to me a couple weeks ago. I mentioned it starts with a J. That's all I'll say. And, you know, it was no intentions, wasn't even in my notes. I just threw it out there. They took it down. And as soon as I said the V tonight, I said, Oops. But hey, you know what? It's all good. That's why we have editing buttons.
That's no. That's why I told everybody, don't worry. They may hear one little missed word. It's okay. That's you can put it back in your mind and know what it was. But it's true, you know, folks. As we were saying earlier, and I just wanted to read the verse as we wrap this up here tonight because it's so important. 1 Corinthians 11, or excuse me, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for an examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And Pastor, I think you summed it up tonight in such a powerful way. To me, I got to go to church on this program because you ministered to my soul, reminding me that everything we are doing, this earth, it's about what's happening now. The word was written, the time is written. Folks, we've got to understand that God has called us to such a time as this. This is our Esther moment. You know, this is our time to stand up and do something. Pastor, I just was wondering if you could just kind of close us out with a prayer because I know it's, you know, being a pastor, there are so many people that are just so struggling right now. They're confused, they're worried, they're concerned, their children, and they just need a word of hope. And I'm asking you could just pray for the listeners of the Remnant Call tonight to encourage them to keep in this thing, keep in the fight.
I sure will. I sure will. Father God, we just come before your throne today, through the precious name and blood of the Lord Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I ask, Father God, right now that my brothers and sisters that are listening right now, no matter what age or stage and position of life they're in, whatever fight they're in, Father, some may be on the mountaintop and some may be in the valley, but you're there with them. But I pray for those that are in the valley, those that are struggling right now, that a wave of your grace and hope would just embrace them. That you would lift them up, Father God, out of the miry clay. That you'd lift them up out of the depth of their sorrow and their pain, whether it's a wayward son or an abusive husband or a financial situation that just seems unbearable or whatever it is. You care about all things. And I pray right now for a supernatural infusion of your mighty love and grace to be upon my
Amen.
brother and my sister.
Amen.
I pray again that spirit of adoption would be upon them in such a way
Yes.
they would never be able to deny. Satan, the Lord rebuketh you off of
Yes.
those who try to steal, kill. You try to steal and kill and destroy from. And Father, I thank you now. Thank you for your amazing love and amazing grace. Lord, I don't have enough words in my human language to articulate how much you love them. And so I ask, would you, Father, demonstrate it by the power of the Holy Spirit? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. What is the best way everybody can keep up with your messages and what's going on in your ministry?
Yeah, thanks, Frank. I really appreciate it. IgnitedChurchLife.com. That's where you can get a lot of our industry information. And then, of course, Benjamin Faircloth YouTube channel. And now we're on Rumble under Ignited Church. So, yep, just look for us. We're somewhere out there floating around on the cloud.
Folks, if you want an unadulterated message, I'm telling you, listen in to Pastor Faircloth. You will not be disappointed. You might get your toes stepped on, but he'll also give you some love and hope. And so, Pastor, I appreciate your ministry and what you're doing, and staying faithful in such a time when everything is about compromise. It's all about the dollar, and but there are still men and women of God willing to stand up in this hour, brother. God bless you for that. And thank you. So with that, I would like to say to everybody, keep looking up. It won't be long till the Lord will be coming down. This is Brother Frank and Pastor Benjamin Faircloth on the Remnant Call saying to everybody, good night and shalom.
Trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion.